So on Friday, I moved my photography exhibit from Gurnee Village Hall to Waukegan City Hall. And again, that the photography exhibit, those of you who don't know, it's meant to keep sparking our conversation about how can we partner in our two communities, especially around PADS and the homeless, but just in lots of ways. How do we partner together, Waukegan and Gurnee? So I'm in the lobby of Waukegan City Hall, and thank you to David Motley and Jane Ferry from the city staff. They've said I can put my pictures on the wall right by the two elevators there in the lobby. If you've ever been in the lobby, they're the elevators that take you to the mayor's office and all kinds of things. So I'm working afternoon, and it's going fine. It just takes a while. And got some good help. This was kind of cool. I got some help from one of the janitors, and then I realized I recognized him. I said, Jerry, didn't you help with one of our neighborhood cleanups last spring, which we did around the PADS neighborhood when people were complaining about trash? And he said, yeah, I used to work for Public Works, and they had sent me out to help with that. I remember that. And now, just in a week and a half, he had been assigned to City Hall so that he was there that day when I was there. And I said, Jerry, that cleanup, it inspired this project. And so that was pretty cool. So working all afternoon, seeing people come and go, listening to Jerry chat up every person comes in. And then suddenly there was sort of this, I don't know, a rustle. It's not even that many people in there, but you just sense something different was about to happen. And I'm putting pictures up, and I kind of turn, and I realize everybody's kind of, whoever is around, has kind of straightened up. Because here comes Mayor Sam Cunningham. And so, you know, you start hearing people, well, good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Mayor. Mayor, good to see you, you know. And so I did the same thing, right? Good to see you, Mayor. And he's like, oh, what's going on here? And I said, well, you know, the pictures, I think you've seen them before, because he had. And but everybody kind of, you know, just like, you know, and then he looked at him, and he got on the elevator, and then everybody kind of went back to normal. You knew something was different when the mayor walked in and how everybody acted. I tell you that story because in some ways I think that just that change of feeling that I know you can understand and know you can sense, that change is kind of a little bit like the passage from Hebrews today, Hebrews chapter 3, where the writer is trying to help the readers to see that Jesus has more glory than Moses, and that the builder of the house has more glory than the house itself. We were all in the, you know, lobby of City Hall, whether they worked there or just kind of putting up art or, you know, coming and going, and we're just part of what's going on in City Hall. But when the mayor walked in, he has a different role, right? The elected official, different role. And what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is trying to say, because he's writing to Christians who were Jews, Jews who had come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but he's writing this letter over and over again to help them to say that, yes, Jesus far surpasses everything that we knew, everything else that we have been told. All the prophets that have come before us, Jesus surpasses them. And so that's what the whole thing is about. The builder deserves more honor than the house. And Moses, as great a prophet as he was, and you see in Deuteronomy how the end of his life and it kind of closes with how there has never been a greater prophet nor there ever will be. I mean, Moses was held in such high esteem. And yet the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is saying, but hold on, the mayor is about to walk in. Somebody even more important, somebody of a different sort is about to walk in. This Jesus is a different sort, far surpassing even Moses, which probably was tough for the readers. Imagine, it's tough for the readers to imagine that somebody would say that there was someone greater than Moses. They had been brought up to think that Moses, the pinnacle of the prophets, Moses was the one who went up on the mountain and saw God. Moses was the one where God gave him the law, the instruction to take down to the people. He used Moses to bring them out of Egypt. He used Moses in the desert to keep them alive. And so for someone to come along and say that there is one who is greater than Moses, it was hard to believe. Kind of like if the mayor walked in and we all, you know, good afternoon, mayor. And then somebody else came in and said, you know what, there's somebody more important coming. We'd kind of look around, we're like, well, who's more important in this city hall, right? It's kind of hard to imagine, like, well, who in the city government is going to be more important than this? And in that same way, when Jesus had appeared and Jesus was proclaiming that he is the Son of God and that he has come to bring all of this to fulfillment, there were many people who struggled. How could this Jesus be greater? Because he sure didn't look greater. He didn't look like Moses gathering up all the people of Israel and leading them out like a big nation. Jesus didn't look like he was greater. They didn't see that, you know, Jesus wasn't going, you know, to talk to the Roman Caesar like Moses talked to Pharaoh of Egypt. Jesus just didn't seem to appear to be greater, which I think is part of the reason that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain. I think he took them up on the mountain so at least those three would see this divine confirmation that Jesus is of a different sort. In fact, he takes them up on the mountain, and God reveals the divine glory of the Son of God, and even has Moses and Elijah show up, right? Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets, and they are, you know, talking to Jesus. They are, they're saying, good afternoon, Mayor, right? They're deferring to Jesus. And so for Peter, James, and John to see that, they're suddenly realizing, it's true. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is of a different sort than Moses. Moses came down the mountain and he was radiant from being in God's divine presence. Jesus just has the radiance of God's divine presence. And so they came down. And yes, it says they kept it to themselves, but obviously they eventually did tell everyone because it got written down. But it confirmed that they were following the right one. Because there had been plenty of prophets, and there had been plenty of false prophets. And so for Jesus to show up and say, I am the one, I am he, they wanted to follow, but I'm sure they had their doubts. I'm sure they were thinking, is it really him? Or maybe this Jesus, he's just another in the line of the prophets. But as the letter of the Hebrews says, at the very first verse, it says, in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The letter keeps over and over again saying Jesus has greater glory than the angels, greater glory than Moses. Moses saw God, but through Jesus we have direct access to God. Moses brought the instruction to us, but Jesus himself is the Word of God. Over and over again just showing us that Jesus is the far superior one. So honor the builder more than the house. And it even says in that little passage there from Hebrews 3, it points out how this is not to say Moses wasn't faithful. This isn't saying Jesus is so much greater because really Moses wasn't that good. You know, that's never really a compliment, right? Like, oh, you do such a great job because, you know, so-and-so who also did that, they did a terrible job. Right? That's not really a compliment, right? Right? You drive really well, because the last person I rode with, I mean, they crashed the car. Like, okay, so I'm moving up just a little bit. So, but notice, it doesn't actually say Moses was terrible, Jesus is great. What it says is Moses was a faithful servant in the house of God. But Jesus is the faithful son over the house. Moses is a servant in the house. He served with the people in God's house, in God's household, in the people of God. Jesus, he's the son. He's over the whole house. He deserves even greater glory. Honor the builder more than the house or even the house servants. And so for us, I think, to take this to heart, I think part of it is just to keep recognizing there will be many people who will say that Jesus is just another one of the prophets or another one of the religious teachers. And we kind of heard that a lot in a lot of conversations that got sparked by Explore God. Jesus is just one of the other teachers. But what Scripture keeps showing us is that Jesus far outweighs them all. He is the Son of God, chosen by God, the divine Son of God. But I think you also can take it to heart in this way. Honor the builder more than the house. And here's where I think it's difficult. Honor Jesus more than even the church. Honor Jesus even more than the institution of the church. And sometimes that's really difficult. We get really caught up in making sure the church keeps going. And I don't just mean Bethel. I mean just in general. We get attached to the things that we do, the programs, the events, the things that we have to keep running, the buildings. And we get really caught up in keeping all those things running, almost honoring them more than we honor Jesus. And so to take this to heart means how do we keep honoring Jesus above all else? Or to put it in Bethel language, give more honor to Jesus than the park bench. For those of you who don't know, our park bench language is this, that a park bench is anything that brings people together to build relationships and friendships and have spiritual conversation. Just like at a park bench is there and a couple of people might sit down and rest and then happen to strike up a conversation. That's a good park bench. But it's about the people. It's not so much about the bench. But if a park bench is like way off someplace where nobody uses that part of the park and it's all overgrown, the park bench doesn't really do anything. But again, it's about the park bench. It's not about the park bench, I mean. It's about bringing people together. And there's a lot of things that we do together that bring us together and for good reasons, right? To study God's word, to encourage one another, like Wednesday, we start Lent, and so we have soup supper before all the worship services on Wednesday. We have food together to bring us together, to build relationships, to care for one another, but it's really not about the food, although the soup is good. It's really not about the food. It's really not about the park bench. It's about Jesus. Honor Jesus more than the park bench. Honor Jesus more than the building. And so we celebrate what we have, and we celebrate Jesus, and we remember things like Jesus forgives us, and Jesus died and rose again. Jesus came so that we could have direct access to the Father. Jesus comes and reveals all this truth and this hope to us, and that's what we focus on. Here's an experiment this week to help us focus on Jesus and not the building, okay? And this is a tough one. If you're out and about this week and you're talking to somebody, family, friend, coworker, whatever, and you happen to start talking about faith or religion or what you did on Sunday morning, try to talk about your faith as your faith in Jesus. Our normal go-to thing is to talk about where we go to church. And that's a lot easier, right? It's a lot I don't know, it just feels too personal or something. We get a little tripped up when we start to try to say things like, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian, or, you know, Lent is beginning. It's a time when we remember that we're sinful and we need Jesus. I mean, to say those kind of things takes you down a path of honoring Jesus. But it's a lot easier to talk about the building. It's a lot easier to say, I'll go to Bethel Lutheran Church. But I don't know if you've ever noticed that as soon as you say, I go to Bethel Lutheran Church, you're answering a lot of other questions. Oh, where's that? Right? Where's that located? What denomination is that? How many people go there? What kind of programs do you offer? Do you have a rummage sale coming up? I mean, you answer all these other kind of questions that are about the building. And you don't get a chance to talk about the builder. Now, we all struggle with this, right? And there's times and places to get more specific about your faith. But I'm asking you to experiment. Because Jesus calls us to focus on him. The transfiguration shows us to focus on him, not on setting up three tents like Peter thought, right? To focus on Jesus, the Son of God. Our hope is in Jesus. And Bethel Lutheran Church, we pray it continues, and we pray our ministry continues, but it's really not about this park bench. It's about the gospel of Jesus. So try this experiment this week. And as you think about that experiment, keep thinking, how do I honor the builder more than the building? How do I honor Jesus more than the park bench? How do I speak about my hope in Jesus instead of just some of the other stuff? And when you keep reflecting on Jesus, you keep coming back to the fact that you have a Lord who far surpasses any other prophet, a prophet who has come to die and to rise again for you, who has the divine glory of God, and yet he set that aside to come and to rescue us. Amen.